Blog Talk Radio.
We are war. We are war with terrorists. COVID-19 is affecting our youth, affecting our young adults and our children. That's what it's all about. So we look to have an awesome time tonight on Mindful Marvelous Monday, and that's what it's all about. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 so we make sure we get you on the line using the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then just ask you to offer your location, then jump right in with your conversation in regards to if you're an expert at what we're talking about or you just want to offer your thoughts, and you may have a comment or question. That's what it's all about. The web link for this is www.blogtalkradio.com/WPSW Internet Talk Radio. We're the voice of the Snip Wave Internet Talk Radio, so we're so glad to have an opportunity to be before you. Now, if you want to email the show, you can go to talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. Then if you want to tweet the show, we have several areas we want you to be able to tweet and share your thoughts. First of all, you have @talkingrealtoyou. @WBSW_internet_talk_radio, @LorenzaDSmith15, @CoachWithAK_L_Smith, then @DrLorenzaSmith with the number 1. We also want you to be able to just be a part of this through Instagram and a Smith Way production. We want you to check us out. Just go to Instagram, and you should be able to do this. So we're going to have an awesome night tonight. We're being broadcast, actually using 4 devices. We have our Blog Talk Radio. Then we also have a room in Facebook. It's open for you to join us. We would like for you to join in and be a part of it. Then we also have just our Facebook account rolling, and that's facebook.com/DrLDalberto Smith. So we have a great opportunity being a part of. We have several people that join us as co-hosts. They come in from time to time. We're more or less in our room now. That's Lisa Levine out of Boca Raton, Florida. We're so glad to have her by way of Cleveland, Ohio. So that's a big stretch of there where it's cold as all get up to where it's beautiful and hot down on the beaches down there. That's where we have Lisa join us. So I'm going to introduce her so she can jump in right there. We also have joining us Miss Lauren D. Smith, one of the co-hosts that join us from time to time. She's coaching, doing some positive things over there with our young people. And so she will join us. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, Dr. O, out of Georgia, joining us from time to time. Then we have Miss Scarlett H. Black is joining us out of Greenville, South Carolina. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Dr. O is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And Lauren D. Smith, Miss Lauren D. Smith, is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Then we also have Miss Tina Robinson out of Oakland, California. Tina is always here being strong, sharing some awesome thoughts with you. She just shared with you exactly her life experience, only my own truth. Behavior, cognitive, health organization that's working with young people, working with everybody to kind of get us on the right track. But she will join us in. She'll call in a little later, and we're so glad to have each and every one of those individuals join us. Now, let me kind of touch bases and wave to some of these people that's joined us. We have also joined us on Facebook. We have Demetra Bester. Thank you, Demetra, for joining us. You remember Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much, Demetra. Then we also ask me about the home ownership. So we also have a website if you want to get a home. You can ask me. This is on Instagram about the home ownership. And she's looking to work with you. And we appreciate you taking the opportunity for joining us as well. We also, before we move forward, there's a couple of things we're going to make sure we do. That's before I introduce Lisa, because I have to give her that raving introduction. But there's a couple of things I want to make sure we do. On tomorrow in the state of Alabama or the central Alabama, you have the District 26 Senate race, which is the general election. You have the candidate, Kurt Hatcher, a Democrat, going against the candidate over there that's a Republican, joining up, named it William Green. I'm sorry, candidate William Green. The polls will open up at 7 in the morning and close at 7 p.m. If you're in this area, in central Alabama, consists of Montgomery and surrounding areas, you can be there at 7, or if you have already absentee voted, let's not get voters fatigued at this time. We need a state representative. As a state senator, is going to speak our voice and have our vision. And this show will openly tell you we support House of Representatives Kurt Hatcher for the state senate seat for District 26. He's been on our show. He shared his thoughts. He talked about all the things he want to do. And we're going to support people that support us. So if you get a chance and you're part of the district, that's District 26, go out and pull the lever. Push the button. Write it in, whatever it may be, for Kurt Hatcher. He's a House of Representatives of District 78, but he's running for the state Senate seat. So he'll be a senator representing District 26. Make sure you do that. You can give him a call and check him out. He's got several areas, and I want to make sure I can find it so I can give you an opportunity to touch base. KurtHatcher.com. You can contact Kurt that way. Facebook.com/KurtForAlabama. Instagram.com/Kurt.Hatcher. Get out and support Kurt Hatcher, because I will in the morning be there to push for and make sure we vote Kurt Hatcher in. We also want to take opportunity, like we always do, is to give a shout out for all of our historical moments. We have a Black History Moment we're going to have. It's not just in the month of February for us. We're going to be doing it every show. And we're going to focus on a U.S. Congressman, a member of my fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We have Elijah Cummings. He's a U.S. Congressman out of the state of Maryland, 7th Congressional District, held a Juris Doctorate degree, first African-American in Maryland history to be named Speaker Pro Tem. We say who are two. My front brother, who have gone to Omega Chapter, been looking down on us, asking us to keep on grinding, keep on going, and he's smiling because of 2020 results. Elijah Cummings, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Also, looking at the screen, I want to give a shout out to Brother Candidate for International President of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. The election will be going on in August. Brother Ja Lamont. He's joining us on Facebook. Thank you, brother. He's a candidate for our international president. So we look forward to having him. And this is not the first time. He's often joining us. Thank you, Brother Lamont, for joining us at this time. So we just a pleasure to have you a part of our show. All right, let's get this opportunity now. I'm going to take this opportunity to introduce this young lady because I'd like to give her a raving introduction. It was by way of a cousin of mine out of the state of Ohio, Akron, matter of fact, the Cleveland, Akron area. And she said, that's a young lady that really would play a major part in your show. I said, let me talk to her. So I called her and we talked, and I said, I'm excited about having her on the show. She's born and reared in the state of Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio, where she eventually made her way down as far south as you could get. Boca Raton, Florida. If you know about South Florida, you're not very far from Miami, the southern peninsula, and Key West. And she serves as working with our young people, making a difference in their life. And she extends a lot of things we're going to talk about tonight. None other. It's always a pleasure to have her here. I say, my friend, Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. God is blessing us every day. It is a blessing to be able to get on and have a mindful, marvelous Monday. So we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to make it do what it needs to do. It's so exciting to come before you and be able to talk about our topic for today. It's COVID-19 mental wellness. Well-being, how do you want to say it, of young adults and children. And it's something I want you to think about. If you have children, you know the challenges they're going through. We as adults, we can deal with the challenges, but it's tough for our children and our young adults because a lot of things they're accustomed to and things that we was accustomed to when we came up at that age as a child and eventually young adult, they're not having that opportunity. It's been challenged. So tonight we want to talk about, can't do it better than the expert I have on here that's experiencing this every day. She's experiencing it every day with young people coming up from elementary age up until college students and even adults. So before we can move forward, and we want to move forward, we want to make sure we take an opportunity to say to everybody, we love you. We know it's a challenge. We know COVID-19 is here. We want you, if you choose to get the vaccine, I encourage you to get the vaccine. Now, that's your choice to make, but I just want to know, the quicker we can accomplish some kind of system understanding, we can get back to a new norm. We're going to have a new normalcy. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, I had a communication with my nephew today, and he was typing on about the mask requirement, whether it be still mandatory mask in Alabama. And I told him, sure. You got to remember, the number one health expert up there, Dr. Fauci, already said, even if you get the vaccine, you still got to wear the mask. So why is the question about, it ends coming up in about a week or coming up Friday, it's going to be in existence. And we will be dealing with this for a minute. If areas choose not to wear it, that's fine. But right here, we have to choose and make a choice, and our leadership have to make sure it also makes choices for others that may not be capable or are willing to do it. I know everybody said that's my right. But sometimes when your right stops when you infer on my right. You got to remember that. So we have to keep that in mind. But we're going to get with our topic, and we're going to make this thing happen. So, Lisa, we ready to have an awesome night. I'm going to be throwing it up like softballs, and I want you to knock it out of the park every time I throw it up to you, Lisa, because that's what it's all about. We're going to talk about just our young people, our children, dealing with social and emotional challenges right now. And from your experience from day to day, I would like for you to share with each of our listeners and watchers in regards to some of the things social and emotional that these young people are experiencing where you're working right now.
Where to start? We actually got into a couple charter schools with our yoga program, and we're teaching outside, and it's all socially distant. The feedback I'm getting is very, very interesting with these kids. And actually, I forgot to put a video up. I have a whole video on a child's perspective of what it's like wearing a mask all day and the stressors that these kids are facing. One, where to start? Kudos to everybody that has to wear a mask all day, including the school staff and the kids. It is very difficult and it is very challenging. Two, what I find with the kids, they want to keep their masks on, the masks fall off. They move around. They can't breathe. I had two kids tell me they felt like they were suffocating by wearing the mask. You got kids that talk lower than others. You know, some people talk low, we can't hear. No facial expression, no touching, no hugging, no closeness. And these are coming from my third to fifth graders. Very in tune. They want to do whatever they need to do to follow the rules. It's very challenging. Their anxiety has escalated. And here's where one of the issues is. I'm afraid if my mask falls down, someone's going to yell at me, whether it's at home or at school. They don't mean for their masks to fall down. And my reply was, well, if you see my mask coming down, just same as Lisa, they see your mask coming down. They also don't want to get in trouble if they bump into someone or if the work isn't being done properly or the video system. Some kids are going back and forth with virtual and in person. Very confusing. There's even outside when they're doing activities, kids have to keep their mask on. Very hard to play football. It's very interesting that they're allowed to do sports, which I think is great, but then other things they're not allowed to do. And they were talking about that. Like, these kids are questioning a lot of things. And I think it's up to us as adults to answer the questions honestly and each appropriately, make them feel reassured, validate their feelings. I don't like the mask either. I get it. I get anxious too when wearing the mask, like, because they're all talking about anxiety. And they're trying to understand this. And I know it's not easy being a parent right now. I know it's not easy being a teacher right now. It is very difficult to be a child. Their lives have been turned upside down. They're not even writing anymore, Dr. Lowe. Everything is on a computer. I didn't even realize. I thought the kids that were in person were actually writing. They're not learning how to write. Socially, they're not connecting. They are not connecting. There's fears of, you know, having play dates or having kids, you know, interact. There's safe ways to do all these things. You can have one friend have one play date. I'm more concerned about the mental well-being, actually, than the academic. I mean, to me, it goes social and then academics after, because if we don't have social skills, well, they're not going to know how to act. They don't like manners or saying hi, not knowing facial expressions anymore. All day long, I'm on calls. I literally, I go from one call to the next. I'm lucky if I get a 5 or 10 minute break. My phone pops. People are scared. Children are scared. Now I'm scared to leave the house. They think it's unsafe to be like outside in the yard or something. This is just different. I'm giving you different scenarios of what's going on. And what are we doing to reassure them? What are we doing? What are we doing to be good role models? Well, to me, we're not showing them that we can work together to be a team. And let's work through this. Let's do our social distancing. Wash our hands. follow directions. This is a big issue. You have children that are struggling, trying to follow a direction, trying to get their schoolwork done. I got my kids on virtual that can't focus. They are unable to focus. Their anxiety is not good. There's problems with the electronics, internet access, and then their anxiety goes up even higher. When that internet goes out, it is like, oh my God, I'm not gonna pass. I try to tell them just take a picture, let's send it into the teacher, let's let mom and dad know. I mean, there's so many factors, Dr. Lowe, going on. I mean, like I said, I'm not even sure where to start with all this. But if we don't do something, suicide rates have gone up. Kids are cutting. Kids aren't eating. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just being realistic. They don't have outlets. Kids don't always want to talk to their parents. I've mentioned that before, and that's okay. Let your child know that you're available. If they don't feel like talking, it's okay. You know, how was your day? If they don't want to talk, it's okay, honey. It's okay. I'm here if you do want to talk. Make sure you have a good support system. Find a therapist. I mean, we're all trying to. Like, I feel like we're frontline workers, and we are overwhelmed. I mean, we are inundated. I don't think there's enough professionals out there. But please, when at home or at school, provide that support. And that, just like what I do. I don't like wearing a mask either, guys. I don't like it. It makes me feel a certain way, too. Let them know you have feelings like they do. And that it's okay to feel the way they do, because if they're not being heard, then you start getting behavior problems and acting out. And that's why I said with the cutting, kids are vaping. There's higher incidence of kids vaping. Kids are like sneaking around now, or some parents are letting them out and they're fighting. I'm hearing this is something totally new to me. My game with boys is now become like a fun event to watch these boys fight. It's like an outing for kids. I just learned that last week. I was taken aback. Hadn't heard about that one. Even got 15, 16-year-olds selling, what is it, the vape, where they put the marijuana in the vape.
Yep.
This is going on. Kids are searching to find some sort of identity, acceptance, outlet. They don't know. And it's like I said, up to us to provide the guidance to them. I don't know everything. I don't pretend to know everything. I like to work together so we can come to conclusions or come to solutions for things. But I think that's what we're missing right now. And then I think some kids think, oh, eventually this will be over. Well, we know COVID, and I'm honest, it'll always be in the air. You know, you're going to always have germs and illnesses. And I think we really need to keep people aware of that. And that we should continue to wash our hands, eat right, exercise, move around, take care of our body. Now, this is a great time to continue to work on that, right? Spend some added time. But
yeah,
if we don't get a grip on this, I can't find a suicide rate number still. I can't find an accurate number.
That's right.
I can find COVID numbers, Dr. Lowe, but I can't find any. There's kids hurting themselves.
Exactly.
We need to figure this out. And if you don't know, don't be ashamed. Please don't feel ashamed. If you've got anxiety, I'm very open about it. I've had anxiety most of my life and as a child. I understand it. I might not totally know your anxiety, but I do understand it, and I'm empathetic. But take the stigma away from mental illness and mental health.
Exactly.
Let's acknowledge and validate this is out there, and that we really need to have some changes come in place.
Awesome. I tell you, you can be a part of the conversation as well. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I identify you by the last 4 digits of your cell, our telephone number, and actually give you a location, your name if you choose to, and offer your comment, and just your expertise on it. It's something so important that Lisa was sharing with us, and how to discuss with those young people or the youth, our children, about the purpose of the mass. We adults don't quite understand and see the importance of the mass. We have so many people that's challenging, even if they're trying to use some legal argument that may not even be possible, but they want to use it anyway. But when we're dealing with our children, let's not get into the same fight that we're doing with other adults about a mass. Be able to explain age appropriately to those students. See, one of the things we get, we just something Lisa brought that kind of concerned me as a retired educator. I always used to tell my teacher as a principal or even out of the central office when I worked, you know, that your anger you have should never be taken out on anybody else, especially children. If they ask you a question, you're not comfortable with answers, be transparent with students to let them know I'm not comfortable answering the question. And that's where we're at the point that everybody are not comfortable. See, I always tell people and all of my friends that know me, I talk about transparency. I think the reason we are where we are now because we're not being transparent with each other. We want to retire somebody else to be transparent, but you need to be transparent enough that you gain as much knowledge as possible about what's going on right now so we can be transparent. We're not doing that, and we definitely can't be with our children. What we want to do, we're just telling you have to wear the mask. You can't say nothing else. Don't do that. We just wearing the mask because they said we wear the mask. It's a lot that goes along with that. There are reasons, and if you'll explain those reasons to the young people, as you know, they understand, they comprehend better than the people that's mature and supposed to be of age because they're observant. See, that's one of the biggest. One thing I always said about children, I even wrote in my first book I wrote, talk about education because of my life in education. Children are very observant. They copy everything you do. If you act in a manner, if you're screaming and hollering at people, they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest challenges that we have there, we just got to make sure. But we got a call on the line, and we'll jump back. I know that was a question I was going to kind of put out that was typed on Facebook, Lisa.
Really quick.
Uh-huh.
If you're scared as a teacher, don't, like, there's a teacher around here that has a bubble around their desk. And if the kids try to approach, and I get it, she's scared. Rather than yelling at them, just say, I'm nervous. Is anyone else here nervous? It's really important that we fix being distant. I can give you a million ways to answer a child where you're not, I get it, guys. I get it, teachers. It's nerve-wracking. But don't yell at them and scare them because it makes it worse. And then some kids don't want to be at school because they're uncomfortable. Just say, hey, I'm feeling nervous. We need to keep the 6 feet. This is why we need to keep the 6 feet just for today. This is what we're being told right now. Those are ways to be in the moment and say this because we're being given different information each day. Handle it that way.
Awesome, awesome. We have a call on the line. We want her to count it. I know who it is. Personally, I think I know it. The last 4 digits is 0488. You have an opportunity to let us know your location if you want to give us your name, and you can offer your question, your comment, or your expertise.
Hi, Dr. Lorenzo, and hi, Lisa. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay, so this is... This is Minister Denise from Behind the Mask Ministry in Berkeley, California. And, I kind of chimed in a little bit on what you were talking about as far as the social distancing. As a teacher in the school district where I live, the one thing that I find and I'm finding most disturbing is my question is, what kind of society are we creating when we have people that are masking themselves? you know, you can't tell what kind of mood they're in, you know. You don't know if they're happy. You don't know if they're sad. You don't know if they're facing a challenge that day. And the social distancing makes us a non-feeling kind of society where people aren't affected by things that they may see. You can see a person on the street being beat to death and just continue to walk away. You don't know if a person is in a trauma that day. So what are we doing with these kids? You know, we were not created to be non-touching, non-feeling. We have senses for a reason. And if we don't use those touch, feel, smell, hearing, all those things we have for a reason. And when we tell it, when we start to tell these kids, you know, you can't touch, nope, you can't share. And I know for a fact, being in the lunchroom with kids, the third, fourth graders, oh, there's a lot of touching and there's a lot of sharing going on. Now we're creating these sort of kids that are like robots and clones. No, you can't play with them. No, you can't run with them. You can't touch them. So what are we doing? It's dangerous. I'm telling you, it's dangerous.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Go ahead on, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me say thank you, Minister Denise Stepney out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mask Ministry. She's joining us and also a caller from time to time on our 1 o'clock show. So we're all about thanking you for taking part. Now, Lisa, you can jump in right there.
I mean, I agree with what she was saying. I mean, last week I was teaching, and after the class, and one of my students, like, she ran up and hugged me. Like, she had her mask on, but she, like, ran up to, like, her. I just, you know, I felt bad. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Lisa. I said, it's okay. She goes, I love you. I want to thank you for teaching us and helping us. And I'm a hugger. And I always, you know, hug. I mean, now with this, we're not supposed to, and she's right. What are we creating? Are we going to be able to reconnect, and how are we going to rebuild that bond? And when the kids were saying, I don't know if you're smiling, or I know when I first started teaching, they never saw me. I stood far back, had my face shield on. I pulled the mask down because I wasn't thinking. I'm like, these kids don't know what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, she looks, we don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know facial expressions. And she's right. What are we creating here? And how are we going to undo it? That's my concern, too.
And that should be a concern, is how are we going to address this when we get to a point. We got to realize it's not just being able to have the vaccine and getting everybody to the point where, which you probably, that's going to be a challenge. We got to be able to deal with this mental part of this emotional part.
Yes.
Once we do get to a point where we understand what we're dealing with. See, and hopefully we can get on the same page. One of the biggest things, and both of y'all said this, that we got to get on the same page. We can't have a different message coming out every day. We can't have the message that says what you're trying to do politically. You know, we have one message come out every now. You got another message coming out, and you got people challenging the people that's supposed to be the scientists. But see, you know, I hear you scientists, but you know, God is my scientist. God is my answer. That's just me. Now, I don't know about the rest of everybody else. I can't speak for nobody else. So whatever they say is fine, but I'm going to get my affirmation and definitely my confirmation by Lord and Savior. So I'm going to put that in there. We don't have to like that. It's my show. I can put it in when I want to. And that's what it's all about. What we got to keep in mind, we have to keep in mind, okay, that when we are transparent, I go back to that all the time, being open up enough to start sharing and not having somebody behind you undermining what you're doing. See, we got that too much of that going on with COVID-19. See, we was talking all about social and emotional aspect. We know that ties, and we really hadn't gotten to the mental health part. And as the show said, it's all about mental wellness for young people or young adults and children, and that's what the show is all about. But your social and emotional, you know what effect it have on it, because when I was working in elementary. Never was a principal in elementary, but I worked as a coach in elementary, and I also dealt with at-risk programs in elementary school from the Central Army. Children come up, they see you, they run and hug you. They just want to do that. You know, and sometimes, a lot of times, they shouldn't be hugged. Yes, no, they see you as someone to be hugged. But now, they can't hug. But that part hadn't gone for them. They still want to do it. They still want to hug you. Because that's just in their nature as a child. They respond that way. So how do we begin, if we continue to condition them to do this, because we're dealing with a health crisis. Let's not think it's not a health crisis now. And we want everybody to practice the health safety protocols. We want to. But you got to explain it to our children and be to a point where they understand it. I think that's what, because even when this some kind of normalcy come back, they still going to be asking the question. They still going to ask them, can I now hug you? You know, is it all right to hug you? I'm going to still get COVID-19. That's why I tell everybody, even though some people want to put a timeline saying, if we get all this done by November, it'll be here. But you're not. All the other things like the social and emotional part is really been challenged. So what we have to do is start preparing ourselves. You know, the show that I have on Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock is talking about issues in our neighborhood block by block. We're going to get at our homes and start talking with each other. I always think you got to start there. People don't like to hear me say that. But being in education, I see some home situations where children, they get the best when they come to school because they're not getting there. But what we got to make sure is we share when we begin to see some light at the end of the tunnel, how exactly we're going to deal with this situation. But we got to start at home. If we want to deal with COVID-19, we have to start at home, right? I told everybody, I said, it's my thing. I talk to my family and I tell them, you know, we hadn't had really anything where we got to be able to get together a small group, big group, because that's something we're choosing not to do right now. But we got to be able to talk, because you can have one person go somewhere in what I call lack of ventilation places. And they come back and they can infect the whole family. And a lot of times, it attacks the people who have an age under their belt. It don't always attack the young, but it attacks people who have, you know, up in the, you know, 50s and 60s. I'm sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean to put you in that group since you turned 50 recently. But since, you know, you just turned 50. But the people that, you know, because our body is like we're at risk. So we have to realize, and I told mine, when you go, stay 14 days away. Because we're going to hold you accountable in this family. That's just the way we're going to do it. Everybody can choose to do it, but you can do it like you want. I just think it's so important that you have something that you work by from the ground, the grassroots level, and work your way up. Right now, we're trying to work from the top down, and it's not going to work, I'm telling you, because the people at the very bottom not going to hear what you said at the top because it's going to be filtered, it's going to be changed, it's going to be everything before it gets to them. Then people who are going to get it to you, you're going to feed those people like you want to feed. Now you got a big division going on because it works from the top down instead of working from the bottom up. Some people agree with that in the process of top down, but I never have. You know, a pyramid even starts from the bottom and works to the top, don't it? It don't start at the top and work down. We have to make sure we do that. But that's what it's all about. Be a part of this. Be a caller. We want to hear your voice. 347-857-4192. You can talk to Lisa as well. You can talk to Denise. I think she just hung up, but she was on the line. But we're just going to move forward. All right, Lisa, we're going to kind of take some steps toward working with our young people. And when I saw this right here, it said, discuss why children and young people struggle with COVID-19. I think we hit on some of it, but there are some other things truly, truly we can address and see why people struggling. One thing is mistrust. You know, I was reading an article about COVID-19. I think Denise is back with us. I think you're back live with us, Denise. We was talking about, you know, our struggles. You know, the struggles with COVID-19.
You know what, can I say
mistrust. Yes, go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
Come on, Denise. She's jumping in right now. Come on.
As, I was just thinking as you were talking, see, the real problem, I think, and a lot of people aren't really addressing, well, you're talking about the mental and the physical and psychological effects that it's going to have on these kids, you know, not being able to interact with their own peers. Not only that, when you talk about a child that comes up to hug a teacher like we normally do when, you know, the kids come to class, but now I have to keep socially distant from you, it is not seen as, oh, they can sort of break down what socially distant is at the age of 7, 8, 9, or 10. You know, they take it as a form of rejection. Now, how do we deal with that? Because we already know that through social media, you know, kids get on social media, I mean, they rip new holes in each other. And they're not able to deal with rejection from their peers or their classmates. So what are we talking about when we talk about kids that are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old? They don't know how to break that down and process that. But I always hug you. And I work with mentally challenged kids, you know. And the point is, like, you know, she comes up to hug me every day. Now what I'm going to tell her? Stop right there. And how do I get it across to her that, oh, you've got to keep your mask on? I would be doing that literally all day long. All day long, because she's going to take it off. It's uncomfortable for her, you know, and we've already got other issues going on with her. But how do we tell them, and how do we get them to understand that it's not rejection? This is what is mandated by the government now. They don't understand what we're talking about. So now they're going to start acting out aggressively in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And now
we've
got a real problem.
Exactly, and that's what it's all about. We have so many challenges we have coming before, and I know people see me moving the mic around, but I want to make sure you hear exactly what Denise is saying. You know, it's not coming out as clear through the system, but we're going to make sure it come out so you can hear. We might get a little feedback because I've been doing this work and get, you know, systems all over this place. But I'm still working at it, but they're being blessed. We're going to keep doing it. All right, Denise, when we're talking about the various struggles that our young people are dealing with, just simply, as she said in her class, understanding what exactly is COVID-19. These young people, I know people say, well, COVID-19, it is a coronavirus, we're in a pandemic. But truly, truly, I have noticed a lot of articles and research, they began to put a F545. If you're going to put that in the paper, share that with. I think that's the kind of public resource we should know as delayed individuals. And I think that's why the mistrust is there. I was talking about mistrust. That's why we have a lot of mistrust. We just don't believe. And then your mistrust is not just the lay person, but you have the people in the medical field that have mistrust. And when you have people in the medical field that have mistrust, you have a real challenge because you got people, even with the vaccine, healthcare workers, and I always talk about this in Alabama, it's about 346,000 healthcare workers. We only had, when they said that 1A come up, we had about 15,000 wanted to take the vaccine. So I was very curious. I started talking to people. I shared this on the show. I started calling people and asking them, you know, tell me why you want as a healthcare worker when you know you're going to be working with individuals. You're the frontline workers. And one of the things, and I was surprised to hear this, and it was small that we may call it small. We had a young lady that's, she's a nurse, and she has some underlying conditions. So she wanted to be in a facility, and they was transferring people around where there was not many cases. So when she was transferred and went and talked to the supervisor told that person that we have no cases at our facility. Now, we got to be real on that. Come on. No cases. However, after she accepted, found out they had about 6 or 7 cases. 70 cases. So she felt like, you know, you're lying to me. You're not being honest. And this was coming from a supervisor at a facility because they were shipping people out. So that was one reason why I said, I'm not taking all the mistrust. And then having the PPE, you know, not having that, having to use stuff over and over again. You know, this kind of stuff crazy. If they can't have what they need on their job, you can't expect me to go trust you on this. But that's something as a struggle with COVID-19. We got to be transparent and stop playing these political games. Everybody, it's everybody playing political games with this now. Everybody's trying to knock it out of the park, and they're trying to get everybody to believe, okay, this is what I'm going to say because I can do this. Instead of everybody being honest, being straightforward, and when you talk with me, don't try to put this CP456. Tell me exactly what it is. Let me know how so I can deal with this and wrap my mind around it. If I'm not able to wrap in my mind, what you think about a young adult? What you think about a child?
Well, you know, too, and Denise is right, every day, okay, now it's, oh, it stays on your clothes for 4 days. Okay, first of all, I don't understand that. Then it was, oh, it's on packages. Now it's not. What I say to children is, there's a weird virus. They don't know enough about it. And this is what they need to be saying, because you can have every symptom. There's at least, what, 20, 15 symptoms of this?
Yes.
It's possible. They're just saying, well, yeah, if your eye hurts or if your lips are, someone said to me, if your lips are a certain color, and it's like you're throwing too much information out there. When you know what it is, you have a medical team. I only listen to medical people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that really bothers me, they're not talking about the people that are alive. And that there are, I'm on this regime now.
Huh.
There's a regime. I mean, I was already taking 4 of the supplements. Now I've added 2. There's ways to treat this with supplements.
Come on.
They're not talking
absolutely
about
that. Come on. Absolutely.
Come on, man.
The medical and professional doctors, they are curing people of not just the COVID, but of the flu and other viruses. And the other thing I don't get, strep and the flu have totally gone away because of the mask on COVID. We're missing something here. Just, you're right, be transparent. Give us the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if that's the problem. Whatever it is, you're not showing us that you can work together for the benefit of this country. And that I don't like either. It is not being good role models for us. You are not showing teamwork. And they just want to fire. That's why I don't like watching the news, because it's so confusing. You hear one story and then one story. And just tell us what's going on.
Exactly.
There's a bad virus or it's an unusual virus and eventually it's going to mutate down into, it's just a virus. We don't know people's pre-existing. Were they smokers? Do they smoke marijuana? Were they drug users? Are they diabetic?
Okay.
So many facts I'm hearing from healthcare people.
I mean,
thinking, oh, you got the vaccine, you can go out and do what you want. That doesn't make sense to me.
It definitely don't make sense to me. You mean you want to drop in right there?
Well, you know what I have a real issue with the fact that they seem to be really pushing and pushing and pushing the vaccine, and they seem to be pushing and always, you know, the numbers escalate every single day, you know, which also promotes fear, like, well, I better get the vaccine. But they're not talking too much about the recovery rate of people who decided, well, I don't want to take this, you know, unsure experimental drug in my body. So they're trying other means, healthier means, through natural supplements to deal with the virus. And there's a recovery rate, but we're not talking about that. We're only promoting, you know, the death rate, you know, 4,000 new cases today. But this is all about big money investors who've invested money in this vaccine. And I'm not going to be one of those test dummies. I'm sorry. No. So I'm not putting any experimental in my drug in my body that you can't even tell me sure data that tells me that it's a success rate. You're not going to get, you're guaranteed not to get COVID if you take this. They're not saying that. They say you won't get a severe of a case if you can catch it. But they're not saying that you won't catch it.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Vitamin they are saying you need vitamin D, which is outside, but then they're telling us to stay inside. And to me, that is extremely confusing.
Crazy.
They say that the vitamin D deficiency in people, they get sicker because of the deficiency. Parents, put your kids on a vitamin regime, and I feel like it should be for overall health and wellness when we're making all these life changes. But you're saying to stay in, but really then you're telling us we need vitamin D. That makes no sense.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, Denise.
And I've had the COVID.
She didn't have it. I know she was down with it.
I was in the hospital with it for 2 weeks. I mean, I had pneumonia along with it, and I was receiving very high dosage of vitamin D3 and other vitamin supplements that they were giving me. They gave me steroids, high dosages of steroids for the virus itself. But everything else they gave me were actually a lot of supplemental things that you can get over the counter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting out there for y'all to go just start buying vitamins. I don't want nobody to say that because I'm not a doctor or a scientist. But what I'm telling you is that there are plenty of people who catch COVID, who don't get severe cases, who aren't put on ventilators. But all we're hearing about is, 15,000 more, you know, hospitals overrun with it, you know. And I'm like, really? Really? But what about the people who are surviving, who catch COVID, who don't get hospitalized, who go to the hospital, and you send them back home and tell them, take this, this, and this, and you can get it over the counter?
Come on now, Denise, you have hit it on the head, and that's something people know. I share with my sisters and my brothers. I tell them just like this. I say, you know what, it's maybe something that's in my body. Because I know I've been around somebody infected. I know I have.
Of course.
And people will say,
yeah.
So the thing about it, apparently we don't focus on the 20 million people who may not have contracted COVID. If you may be infected, you may be asymptomatic. But the point is, apparently the same thing you're trying to put in my body to build up the antibodies in my body, or the way they say it's actually COVID-19, they put it in your body. So if you get around somebody infected and get in your body, it'll go in there and see you got COVID-19 already and turn around and go out. What kind of foolishness is that? I'm saying that's what they're trying to sell to us. Stop trying to sell this to me. Don't just make my leg wet and tell me it's raining, because you're trying to tell me. So why don't you, when even with the vaccine, I'm saying, why not? Here, why you come and have people who you use experiment to find out why we're not getting it? Because there's more people not being infected than people being infected. People don't want to say that.
Right.
They do focus on the numbers of people who are not, surviving. You know, focusing on the people who are infected. But I was saying that somebody 14 days. My sister, as well as my brother, my youngest brother and one of my youngest sisters, both of them had COVID-19 and were at home 14 days. My brother didn't really have a whole lot of sick, but he was at home 14 days. Then my sister, she did lose the taste and everything, and the smell and everything. But after the 14 days, so those people are still, they're still in. Somebody said something's going to happen to you. If you have it in your body, ain't no vaccine going to stop whatever damage already been done to your body. So don't tell me that. Tell me that if I take this vaccine, it's going to stop. And then you tell me it's supposed to be the vaccine that actually has COVID-19 in it and put in my body. And that's why you may get sick, you may not get sick. Some people respond, some people don't respond. But what about spend some time with me and the other 19 million people in the United States that haven't been infected with COVID? What about us?
Yeah.
I'm not
it's
saying
all around us, everywhere.
They need to change up the way that they're presenting this, because I think what's going to happen is now when somebody coughs or sneezes, you're COVID?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be...
And I know people that have had it, and they're fine. Like, I always ask, what were the symptoms? What did they give you? And many people I know were given the whole supplement regime. But the mental aspect of all this is really not good.
Nope.
And you're right. We need to be on it. We need to talk about the positives to it. We need to talk about what's going to happen if all these places close up or the schools close up or we can't get a kid back into a classroom. That is my biggest concern. What about the kids that have been in the house, are not allowed out, they're so terrified, they don't want to touch anything now. How are we going to get them back into a classroom?
Yeah.
What about all people and the teachers? What are they going to, what's going to be done? I know some kids now that went back to school after winter break, and this is totally normal. They're having anxiety. They're having behavioral things. They're having all sorts of, well, why are they doing this? Well, because they've been at home or they've been in three or four settings. Okay. Maybe they were in a home school, a pod, virtual. At this point, I tell parents, pick one or the other. It is not a good routine.
Exactly.
But now they don't want to touch anything, and they're watching everything.
Exactly.
Like, oh, don't move that, don't. And it's like, oh, my gosh, are we creating an OCD anxiety?
Yes.
Just wash your hands. And my niece, every time I said to her, when you get home from school, honey, I said, just take a shower. You're going to your activities, just shower again after, wash your hands. That's it. Because you want to take care of your body, because you love your body. You know, this is how we explain things to children. You don't want to scare them. How are they going to go sit at a desk again then? You're saying don't touch, don't this. Is that really the case? You can't touch anything at all, like a bench or you can, I think this is where some of us messed up.
Exactly.
You won't get some of these kids back in. And my team, they're telling me they don't want to go back because there was too much peer stress and peer drama in school. What are you wearing? I got a higher point than you on my test. You're stupid. I didn't believe these are things that are going on, and now it's like, well, I'm not going back there. Now you have the COVID anxiety and the peer fear. I don't know if Denise is saying you're hearing about this, but there's so many factors involved here, and I feel like we're failing these kids.
Okay, just moving parts. There's so many moving parts that we're not even ready to answer because we don't quite understand it yet. But the idea that everything is going to be back normal after we get the vaccine in August. Come on, people. Let's keep that real. That's not happening. I was telling my nephew today, that's not happening. It's not happening in August. I can tell you that right now. We've already been projected to have some type of variance to be for the next 2 months. Could be more dangerous than what you went through last year. So the point is, you know you're dealing with that. You know it's coming. So what you need to make sure you do is try to understand as best you can. Apparently, we can't get no straight answer from nobody. I don't care who's sitting where they are. We cannot get a straight answer unless there's an agenda being behind the answer they give to you. And we have to get some kind of understanding so we can sit down and talk In our neighborhood, block by block, we can talk to each other. Right now, we can't even talk to each other because we don't know what to tell. Just like Lisa said, my nephew, he was in COVID in the hospital for COVID-19 where he had pneumonia, COVID-19 pneumonia. And he struggled. He really struggled through, but he made it through. When he left to go home, the doctor gave him a list of things he can buy and purchase over the counter. So if I can go get those things over the counter and go keep, why aren't we telling people that it's all about something that we said earlier? It's all about at least billions of dollars being given to Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. Here's another confusing thing. We're already struggling with doing one dose. Take a shot at all. Now you're going to have Johnson come and say, we'll need the one shot now.
We only need one.
But you've been taking, other people took two already. Now you guys say, now, next group of people, you want to take one. I have a problem because it's all about finance. It's all about money now. Is everybody competing? And I said, why do you need all these companies competing anyway? It got to be something different about your because you're going to put your patent on it. You don't have the same as Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson don't have the same as Pfizer. So we got all these different doses out here. And we're not understanding our children. That's what we're talking about. Now we know our mental health is so important, not only just for us, but definitely for our children. We cannot help them mentally when we're not stable ourselves. You know? And we're not stable. So one of the things we need to make sure we can communicate with our individual by getting enough information. You know, you can get an overload, I know it, but you're going to have to find out. And then you have to cycle through what you're getting. Everything that you get is not always good. You have to cycle through and see what's best that fits you. And that's where we have to move if we want to move into a sense of normalcy. I didn't say just like back like it used to be, because we're not going back to them times no more.
No.
So you can forget that.
No.
If you think we're going to go back to the time where, you know, like it was before, we walk up, we shake people's hand and be aggressive, hugging, and that's how. We're going to continue to wear masks in 22. People don't believe it, because no one of them wear it in 22, so I'll tell you, take nine for one mask. You know, so it's cause I'm sure that, you know, I want to feel comfortable with myself. And this is all about me. You make your own choice. I tell the people about the vaccine. I tell you, but if I want to wear one in 22, I'm going to wear one in 22 because I'm still not feeling comfortable. I was sharing again with my nephew today about fall football. He was talking about tailgating at these college games and stuff. I think there'll be no tailgating going on. He's going to crash. So what you going to do? You're in the day. It's March now, right? March, April, May, June, July, and football in August. And you're out there tailgating. You ain't 4 or 5 months removed from being what the situation is. So the thing about it, let's be realistic about this. Let's be honest. Let's help our young people understand. Let's address our mental health situation so they can be well and being able to function in our society. You know, quickly, both Denise and Lisa, I'd like for y'all to share some coping skills that will help our young people. I know we talked about it way back there in the beginning, but you know what? COVID's still here, so we still can talk about it. You know, some coping skills.
I don't think that they're fully addressing mental health.
I really don't.
I've been saying this all along, and I think it's something that just keeps being brushed under the rug. Like, you need to, for me, like, I share, like, what I do. I like to walk. I like music. Meditation is great. You're not going to have a blank mind when you meditate, guys, but just sit within yourself. Kids are very receptive to the yoga. Like I said, we brought the program into some new schools. They are so open to it. They're like sponges. It's a good thing. And, I show, like, you see my hand, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I do this whole finger thingy. I teach a lot of things you do on your hands and ways to breathe. How do I get myself calmed down when I'm feeling anxious?
Mm-hmm.
It's all sensory. Because you can't touch anything anymore, right? Even same thing, heart breathing. You breathe it out. This thing the kids love, I've been teaching this for years. Ear rubbing. Tapping. There's a tapping thing where you tap here, tap on your belly. Teaching them things that they can do where they don't have to have their switches. How you breathe. How do you acknowledge your own feelings? I always say to the kids, if you're feeling anxious, just say it to yourself. I'm feeling anxious right now.
Yes.
I know I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to, you know, let my teacher know. If you're at home, guys, yoga, tai chi, walking, bike riding, skateboarding. I'm very big on movement. Some people say it's hard for them to move when they're feeling uncomfortable. Okay, lay down, make quiet spaces in the house. You can go on Pinterest and wonderful ideas. How to make a quiet area. Everyone in the house can use it. Model for the kids. This is what mom does when she's stressed out. Drawing. Planting. I have one girl I work with. She is like planting doing all this cool stuff. She does art. She's doing aerial yoga. She's bike riding. These things all help. You think things that is not helping, you might still feel uncomfortable, but you took initiative to go and do it. That's step number one. And not everything is going to be perfect all the time. And like I always say, mindset, and it's okay to not be okay. Don't ever tell someone, calm down. Don't feel that way. Don't cry. Why can't people cry? Why can't our boys cry? Why can't... What's the meaning behind it?
Yeah.
Let people be emotional. I mean, when I'm anxious, don't tell me not to be anxious. That's just how my body's reacting to the situation. Learning about our bodies, it's here to here, your head to your root. This is where we feel things. Headaches, heart palpitation, stomach aches, shaking. There's so many symptoms. Progressive muscle relaxation. Self-massage. Okay, do this on yourself. Get some feathers. Use your fingers. Do these things. Self-regulation. That's what it's all about. It's teaching emotional self-regulation. And parents can be showing it, too.
Yep. And they need to be doing it, too.
While we're on this topic, we made a YouTube channel, Katie's Kid Yoga. And so Ms. Michelle and I, we've been putting videos up. And I'm going to try, my goal is to do at least 2 to 3 videos a week. I did one this morning on some breathing exercises. It's free. And if somebody wants me to make a video on something, just let me know, and we will do it. That's our to the communities right now.
Awesome. That's awesome. Denise, you want to jump in right here and kind of share some things with us as we begin? You know, one of the things Denise talked about, taking off the mask. And you know what? This is a time to take off the mask of fear, the mask of anxiety, the mask of stress. Let's take it off. Denise,
absolutely.
You want to share something right now?
Well, you know, for me, you know, because I am faith-based, I would say, you know, we have to continue to trust God. We have to continue to keep our faith in God using wisdom. And we cannot dismiss that there is a deadly virus out there, you know. And the realities of it are that, people are dying from it, but there are also people that are being healed. There are people also that are surviving. So now what do we do as parents and as caregivers, as teachers? You know, we have to find now more creative ways how to maintain our classrooms. We have to find creative ways in our family to keep our children entertained, you know. At the same time, communication is essential. We have to have continuous communication, stressing, you know, the importance of being very careful when you're out amongst your friends, because we're not built to stay indoors. That's why we have outdoors, you know. So I just would say continue to trust God, continue to keep your faith in God, using wisdom. Use wisdom when it comes to your movement, where you're going. You know, I mean, it seems like now everybody's aware that we're supposed to wash our hands. Well, that's what we should have been doing anyway. You know, but now it's even more so important. Like, no, seriously, I'm like, you know, what were you doing before? But now it's even more so important. So we have to continuously educate people about the importance of, you know, when you're out, if you can wear gloves when you go in store, do everything that you can within your power and your wisdom to protect not only you, but the people that are around you. So that would be my advice, you know, as far as our kids at home, please, please give them continuous information. Do research yourself, you know. Also, get with people who also, you know, there are holistic ways to heal this virus. But they're not going to tell you that because they have to make money off this vaccine. They're big investors, and they're looking for returns now. So I'm just saying, just use wisdom. Move in wisdom.
Awesome. I tell you, Denise, thank you so much for sharing that with Lisa. And at this point, you know, we're getting ready to close it out. You know, it's been awesome. I think and feel like we shared something with you. We just spoke from the heart. We was real talking. We ain't trying to read no strip. We ain't trying to do. We're trying to let you know what we're experiencing and how we feel like if we just listen and take time to work on some of the things within our power to do. See, some of these things we can't control, but we can control you know, you dealing with a young person that you know they're not understanding, why I can't hug and you scream and holler. You know, you'll scare a person to death, you know, especially a young person. You definitely scare an adult when you scream and holler when they come on trying to hug you. Don't hug me, what are you doing? You know, this kind of thing like this. It's draining mentally on you, emotionally, to the point where you have to deal with a certain stress that we have to deal with already. You know, I have a show tomorrow on Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood, and we're going to be talking about credit recovery, how we are operating during the COVID-19 financially. That's another stress thing that we have to deal with as adults, as well as young adults. Children might not have it, but young adults, you're talking about some of them that's in college trying to find money. They're trying to get, you know, stay in school, even though a lot of them is doing it at home. They're still trying to find finance to stay in school. They're trying to handle their finance. We're going to talk about that tomorrow in Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to just share some thoughts on it. I'm going to give you some ways to work on your finance during COVID-19 because you can't stop working. We might get as many stimulus payments that we've been getting, but if you're not handling it and you're not doing the right thing and knowing how to deal with it to financially manage your money, you're still going to be in the same situation you were before COVID-19. A lot of us are in the situation, but before it came about, and we're in it now, and we just have to work hard, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. So join me at 1 o'clock tomorrow. That's Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood, the Grassroots Talk Show. Focus on issues in our neighborhood, block by block, and that's what it's all about. Closing remark from Lisa and closing remark from Denise. And then we'll give those people a shout-out that's on Facebook and Instagram. We've got quite a few tonight. We appreciate you so much for joining us. We'll start off with, we'll go with Lisa first and let her share her closing remark. Then Denise, I ask you to offer some closing remarks as well.
First, I want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Denise. And I think we should come back on and have this conversation because I think it was very good. And I'm going to try to pass this video around because I think it's important for people to hear this. And I am actually going to stress the importance of communicating about COVID, mm-hmm. about the meeting, explaining it to kids age appropriately, explaining the positives that are going on, that this is not a death sentence, ways we can cope with this.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this, everything is temporary. Be in the moment. Mindful practices. So important right now. Because when we think too far ahead, well, it's going to go back to this, and it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people that all the time. I say, we don't know what it's going to be because we're right here right now.
Exactly.
We can't make a guess. That's very, very important. And I think we have to really work together as a united front, and if our high of us are, we as a society, we need to come together.
Exactly.
Not say to the kids, but also the adults, because this is a life-changing, life-changing
event.
For all that you are doing for the children that you work with, I know that these things are not easy. It's not easy. I know being teachers, and you know Dr. Will say thing, it's not, these things are not easy right now. Even for me, I can't be in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a huge thing when you're doing therapy is being
in front of people, yes.
Someone and in front of, especially kids, more so the kids than my adults.
Exactly.
So let's just keep the faith, I say. We keep the faith, it's mindset, take care of our bodies. Take care of our minds. Move, and get that vitamin D and make sure you are talking to and listening to people that are educated in the medical world. Don't go on Dr. Google.
Yes, for sure. Awesome, awesome, Lisa. Hi, Denise. Hi, Denise. You want you to jump in? We'll make sure I get my mic. Okay, Denise.
I just want to say thank you, Dr. Rizzo, for having programs like this where people have opportunities to come in unscripted and just basically just have some real talk. you know, nothing made up, just real talk about real issues that are going on not only in our world, but in our own neighborhoods, you know. So I so appreciate you having this platform for people to join in, you know, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because we never know who's listening out there, and I'm hoping that more people will begin to call in and join in. And in this time of COVID, it's important that people have an outlet. What you're doing is providing an outlet for people to kind of let go of some things that are bothering them, you know, that maybe they don't have anybody to talk to, but you're giving an opportunity for them to come on and use this platform. Hey, let's talk about it, you know. So I appreciate you so much. Appreciate you, Lisa, for all the information that you provided. And like I said, I just want people to keep their faith in God. Don't worry about it, because He's in control. I don't care how out of control the world's looking right now. God is still in control, and He is the ultimate healer. Look to Him.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Denise. I tell you, it's truly a blessing to have outstanding individuals who want to be a part of this, Lisa as well as Denise. We're going to come back, if you make your schedule on the 15th, we're going to come back with a part two, and we're going to focus on some more things dealing with COVID-19. So make your plans 2 weeks from today to be back again, and that's going to be the focus of the show. We're talking about the mental wellness as well as the social emotional aspect caused by COVID-19 in our young people, because some things that can change in 2 weeks. We just don't know. So it's a blessing to be able to come before you. God is so good and blessed that we can share thoughts, have a vessel so you can share your thoughts as well, and we all can learn from one another. On tomorrow, as I said, at 1 o'clock, Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood will be on. You check us out. That's Central Standard Time. So that'll be 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 11 o'clock out on that Pacific Coast of beautiful California and Arizona and all the number of areas that we're so glad to have in Washington, state of Washington. So glad to have Denise join us. And, again, in 2 weeks, we're going to have part two of this, Lisa and Denise. So hopefully our schedule will be available for both of you to be back in here and talk about it for whatever time you have available. So we're going to talk about it again. We're going to discuss it in 2 weeks on the 15th. I tell you, it's just a joy to be able to just be able to call out these people that's listening and sharing that important time with us. And let me just give a shout-out, starting with Dr. _Tangi. Thank you so much. Miss Yolanda Wesley, thank you so much. As well as ask me about the homeownership. Check her out. You can go to Instagram. S. Carol Davis. Thank you, Carol, so much. You had a birthday last week. I had to send a happy birthday to one of my first guests that I had. A second guest I had on the show was Miss Carol Davis. Made it a point to touch base with her relative who was doing some awesome things up in Huntsville, Alabama. Thank you so much, Carol. So I had to call and say, wish you a happy birthday. Pat and Clay. _travel. If you're interested in doing some travel, go to packandplay_travel. Then we have X-Century Magazine. So we got a magazine on here. So we have quite a few people joining us on Instagram, on Facebook. We're going to give a shout-out to all those individuals. Denise, and co-host tonight, thank you so much, Denise, for joining on Facebook as well.
You're welcome. Renee
Johnson, thank you so much. Latay Pickett. That's, and I want to go back to Denise and Behind the Mask Ministry. Just go to Denise Stephanie, go on Facebook, and you can find out more about the awesome things she's doing over there in Berkeley, California. Riverside, that she's doing it all over the country. She just don't be in Berkeley, you know. Unless she says she'll be traveling to Alabama very soon. She go to Texas, she go places, making a difference in individual's life. We also on the tape picket with Behind the Inspire to Inspire. Let me get that right. And she's working, doing some things now. Matter of fact, I saw them on Facebook. She's giving out some, you know, some people. She's handing out some money. And she's going to tell them just, she said, DM your Cash App. And that's Latay Pickett. You can go to her Facebook, Inspired to Inspire. And she's sending out money to people. So, you know, it's God's good now. I tell you now, Demetra Besser. We want to make sure you give a shout out. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, Marvin Smith, my fraternity brother, also a co-host on the Listen Night Show, which is Talking Sports Plus. Thank you, Marvin, so much, brother Marvin Smith, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We have John Lamont, brother John Lamont. He's the international candidate for president of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. The election will be in August in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's 2021. So, Brother Lamont, thank you for joining. It's not the first time. He's always jumping in. Thank you so much, Brother Lamont. And those brothers that's on here, if you're interested in finding out more, go to his Facebook page, John Lamont, and find out what's going on with him. We also have another fraternity brother of mine out of the state of Michigan, right outside of Detroit up there. They call him Bingo. That's Brother Winston K. O'Neill. He served on the international board with me back many, many blue moons. He was a regional director from the Great Lakes. I was a regional director for the southern region that consists of Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and the Bahamas. So we would meet up there at the national headquarters and all over the country, and he was our cohort at that time. Thanks so much, Brother O'Neill, of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Dana Bowser, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. She's Zuma by Montecita. She's on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. She'll correct me on that and make sure that I think that I post on my page. That's 7 o'clock. Her class is open for you to work on Zuma. And if you got some, want to attack some of the problems that come about because you were stuck at home and picked up a pile here, there, if you don't feel like they're in the right place, you want to move it, get with Dana and she'll be on Facebook and become her Facebook friend. And she'll go through a virtual Zuma class at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. So check her out. We're so glad to have her being a part of it as well. We have many other people that take opportunities to be here, and I'm so glad. I'm just excited. Just to have this opportunity. Again, we had Denise Stephanie join us out of Berkeley, California. We have Lisa Levine out of Boca Raton, Florida, and those individual co-hosts with me tonight on Talking Real to You. So we had an awesome time. What I tell you, hashtag be responsible. Just because we have the vaccine, still be responsible. Wear your mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet. Come on, that brother. If you need to stay at home, and sister, stay at home. You don't have to be everywhere, especially if you lack ventilation. If there's a school setting that lacks ventilation, you don't need to put your children in there. No need to put your adults in there. We have to do better. Things are happening with the COVID coronavirus release. It was voted on in the House, and it will get passed through the Senate. So you will be getting that $1,400 stimulus payment. You'll be getting that. But other things come along that's going to be happening with that as well. Hashtag One Life Matter. Everybody life matter. And we have to make sure we understand that. So protect your family member and others by doing exactly what you're required to do. Do not let down. Don't let up now. We have to make sure we continue to do everything to keep us safe. We have to. Don't think it's over with. We're nowhere close for it being over with, and we have to make sure. We have over 37 million people, and at the rate we've gone, we had about 7% of the population who have received a vaccine. So we still have many more out there. We have many other individuals out there. So just make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you work toward helping your brother, your sister. Let's get down to the down, dirty, bootstrapping area, which is the neighborhood, and make this thing happen like it's supposed to happen. And in 22, we can start seeing some kind of understanding of what we're dealing with. That's what we actually do. Hashtag keep on grinding. You got to keep grinding at this. Don't give up. Don't get fatigued. Vote. If you're voting and you're anywhere in your area like they'll be doing in the District 26 in the state of Alabama, in the Montgomery Central Alabama area, voting for a state senator, get out tomorrow, go to the polls, and vote for Kurt Hatchett to represent Senate seat District 26. We endorse Kurt Hatchett. He's been on our show many times, and we want him to be representing our vision and our future. That's what it's all about. also, you know, you got to tell somebody you love them. And how you do that is tell them, communicate for love. The four is love. The L is listening. The O, listen to me. The O is for overcoming, overlooking. The D is make sure you got mutual values. And the C is encouragement that empowers you. And that's what it's all about, getting the empowerment. I want you to, you know, get on your phone tonight. Get on your iPad. Get on your whatever you have. And if you can't connect with your family member physically, let them know. If you can't connect with your friends physically or face-to-face, let them know you love them. Give them a virtual hug. Just tell them, because they need to hear it, because we're in challenging times. Our mental well-being is so important. We need to make sure we take care of each other, check on each other, and then we need any professional help. Don't have the stigma of we don't go see the people that can help us. Do that. Make sure. Give them that. Because, see, I love you, and I want you to be around, not just right now, but our goal is God is going to bless us to have this excelling at a high level for years to come. Since 2017, we're still here. That's 4 years now. He's blessing us. 2017, he blessed us to come live in September. It was in September we had our first show. We were really excited about it. And we'll look where we are now. So it'll be 4 years in September coming up. And we now have 9 shows. We so got so blessed and so thankful. But check us out tomorrow. We have a show on Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock, Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. It's the only grassroots talk show that focuses on issues in our neighborhood, block by block. I'm the host. Check me out, 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's been good. It's been awesome. But as we get ready to close out, we got to remember that, you know, we're not trying to continue to struggle, but, you know, God takes us through things because we need to go through it. We need to be able to say that we're going to do what's right so we won't struggle no more. See, because God has just blessed us with an opportunity to do some awesome things, and we want to be able to do it. And he's going to give us the opportunity if we just put our trust in him. You know, as I close all my shows out, I want to make sure you hear me and hear me loud. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome rest of the night. We'll talk with you tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Central Standard Time, Dr. Lowe's. be there for them.
And you feel all alone, but hold on.